I guess you'd probably have to be my age or younger to understand this statement I'm about to make, but how many of you have ever questioned why we do things the way we do things? I think when I first started preaching, you just did it because that's what you did. That's what everybody else did. That's what you did. I remember asking my grandpa this. I said, why do we go to church on Sunday night? Why Sunday night? I understand Sunday morning. That's the day he rose. Why Sunday night? Then Mom tells me when she was a kid growing up, they had church on Saturday night and Sunday morning. Wasn't a Sunday night service. Would that be scriptural? Would it? Who would do that and not get kicked out?
Sure.
I'm just asking. I think the reason we do Sunday night service, the best that I can find, is the scripture we're going to read tonight. It doesn't say you have to gather on Sunday night, but this, I want us to go back in time, if we could, to the day of the resurrection, the day that Jesus rose from the grave, and all the things that took place that day, the women finding the tomb empty, all the other disciples going in and looking and running to tell the others. Here's a question. Do you think anybody expected him to come out of the grave alive? Huh?
His mother, I'm sure.
Mom's over here saying, because she's a mom, right? I think the mama did. You know, I don't think the disciples were really looking for it. What was the disciples wanting, Greg, from this whole Jesus thing? I know the eternal life, but what really were they looking for?
An earthly solution to their...
Exactly. We need somebody to come in and take over this kingdom and put the Romans out and set up a God kingdom and make this thing the way it's supposed to be. Our people run by the Messiah, and we'll all be fine, well, and good. And then right in the middle, the thing looks like it's headed that way. Right in the middle of it, they kill him. And the Bible said that all the disciples scattered. And we're going to read tonight in some wording, and honestly, if you read the wording, you don't see any sign of hope from these guys. I mean, this is a story. It was going great. He does some great things. Next thing you know, he's gone, dead. And now they tell us his tomb's empty. Before he's being excited like we are this morning, like, woo, he's risen from the grave and we're all pumped up about it. I don't think this group of people was pumped up about the empty tomb. I think, first of all, who stole him? And where's he at? I think really, I mean, if you put them all together and read the story, that's what's taking place. So I want to drop you to verse 13, and we're going to start reading, and I'll just stop every once in a while and just bring you some things I think is important until we get to the end of this. But what I want you to see is this is taking place the very day that Jesus rose from the grave. So instead of going home and having dinner and sitting down on the back porch like we did, this group of people is going nuts. Where's he at? They run into other people. You're not going to believe it. The ladies were there. Mary and Martha was there this morning. They said the tomb was empty. They talked to somebody. Peter and John's done ran in and looked. He found the napkin all folded up over here and found his other clothes over there. But the tomb was empty. We talked to somebody and said, "Are you seeking Jesus? He's not here. He's risen." And the guy kind of looked like an angel. So all this is going on, and people are like, I think running scared a little bit. I think they're worried. I think they're going to wonder, if they killed our leader, will they kill us next? Right? Because Jesus is their leader. Right? When they walked into town, who do you think was in front? And these guys were following him in. When they draw the crowd, do you think, well, he's healing people, Mike, that you'd like to be recognized as being part of the guy that just healed them people? I think they were identifying with him, don't you? But now all of a sudden, if I identify with him, what might happen? I might get killed. You know, I can't help but think about those Kenyans this week, those students. I mean, they're telling us now more information is coming out that they asked them one by one, are you a Christian? And those down the line knew that if you said yes, because you know what happened to these up here? They killed them. But as they got down to them, Brother Dean, every one of them that said yes, even though they killed them ones down there, they got to me. You know what they said? Yes, I am. Brother Greg, I have never in my whole life been put on that kind of a stand. Right? I challenge you all to write a letter and put it in the book. Nobody's going to kill you if you don't put it in the book. And nobody's going to kill you if you do put it in the book. But we're talking about people who will stand up and lose their life. And I think these guys and ladies in our story, by identifying with him, I think they were thinking, it could be us next. So I think there's some scared. I think there's some doubts. I think there's all kinds of stuff. So let's read the story. I actually, on my first tour of Israel, got to actually be on this road. And I just was wondering what they were thinking and talking about while they were walking on the same path that I got to walk on one day. Behold, two of them went the same day to a village. When it says two of them, who are we talking about? Disciples. Now, we can already go ahead and answer this. This is not any of the 12. There were other disciples besides those 12. Y'all do know that, right? In that upper room, there's going to be 120 gathered up there. So there's believers, believers, and believers. And all of a sudden, these believers have heard from the other believers, and it says this, the same day, they went to the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which is 7 to 8 miles. And they talked together of the things which had happened. What things? The crucifixion, the grave, what the women had said. They talked about these things. Why were they talking about these things? Well, okay, y'all have done comatose, so let me try to wake you back up. We got ready to eat supper, eat lunch today. Rochelle and Mom's in there finishing up lunch, and Johnny and I and Dad are in the living room. And what do you think we're talking about? Huh? Talking about the game, right? Talking about the teams. Talking about who's going to leave, who's not going to leave, who we're going to get to take the play. We said, why are we talking about that? Huh? It happened last night. It's fresh. Don't we talk about stuff that's fresh on our mind? What happens like, I told Aaron, I said, a month from now, it ain't going to be a big deal, Trev. Today's a big deal. I mean, Brett, bless his heart, we're going to have to hang a wreath on his door, I'm afraid, aren't we? He's down. He's bad. If you're watching, Brett, we're mourning for you, brother. We are. But in a month from now, we know who's leaving, we know who's coming, and all, we start re-gearing. And by fall, we won't even think about what happened last night. It's much. Come on. It's not the first time we've got close to winning and lose. You're right, preacher. Help them, Jesus. I can't. It's true, isn't it? This was fresh on these guys' minds. It happened 3 days ago. The empty tomb just happened this morning. As the sun was coming up, they went. It's empty. This is fresh on their mind. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about, wow, we've had a rough winter. They're talking about why it just taken place. It was a big deal in their life. And they're talking about, Brother Greg, what are we going to do from here? Because for the last 3 years, we've had Jesus. We needed something to eat. He just take a boy's lunch and feed 5,000. We need tax money. He reaches into a fish's mouth. Right, Brother Eric? And pulls out enough money to pay the toll for everybody. But he's gone. What do we do? I think they're talking about what do we do? Where do we go? How do we go on? You think they're talking about that? How are we going from here? Verse 15. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, what's reasoning? You know, if Calipari wouldn't have slowed that game down, if he would have hit that foul shot, if we could have stopped that 7-foot giant from shooting that 3-pointer, is that reasoning? You go through everything. Listen, don't make this complicated. They're normal people just like you are. They don't live in 2015. They lived 2,000 years ago. But their defeat was as bad as yours. And the reason them, they're trying to figure this out. They're communing together. They're crying together. They're like, why are we going to do? If we'd have done this, what if we would have done? What if we wouldn't have came back to Jerusalem? They wouldn't have arrested him and this wouldn't have happened. I think they're talking about everything, don't you? The Bible says this. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Jesus himself drew near, verse 15 it tells us, and went with them. Huh. I think, Logan, this is the hardest thing for your preacher to understand. 3 years they've been with Jesus. They've seen him in a boat. They've seen him do all this. Now all of a sudden they're walking down the road and he just kind of like shows up and starts walking with them and they don't know who he is. And I think a really key thing that I've always got from this passage of Scripture is this one thing. It was held from them. I'm talking to Adam yesterday at the park and he said, you know, I feel like I'm right at a cliff. And if I accept Jesus, I can make that step to accept Him and I can make that step to reject Him. I'm right there. And I said, that's exactly where you're at. But here's the thing, Adam. You don't know if you'll ever get another chance to be at the edge of that cliff again. Because if Jesus can hold it where these two guys who was with Him, Brian, 3 years, if He can hold that from them, what can He do for you? Who's never saw Him face to face. Could He withhold Himself from you? I think He can. The Bible says His Spirit will not always strive with man. You can't sit there and say, you know what, that was a great message this morning. I've been thinking about it all day. And if I'm, you know what, I'm thinking next Sunday won't be as crowded. And I might make my move next Sunday. You can't promise me next Sunday He'll even bother you. You can't promise me next Sunday you'll even be alive to be bothered. Right? And so, it was held from them who He was. And I think it's going to be important why. So let's just keep reading. He said unto them, verse 17, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? How are they walking and talking, Lona? Just like every Kentucky person is today. I honestly, this morning, Lona, I dreaded this morning's service. I did. I told Shell, I said, they won't even be by a church tomorrow. If they would have won last night, we would have had 30 more people probably. Seriously. There are people who I think was going to come this morning who just couldn't get over last night. I mean, seriously, it's affected their life. They'll be alright, but for a short moment in time, it has affected their life. And Jesus walked up to these guys and He said, what's the manner of your communication? Why are you talking like this? Why are you so sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Where have you been living? Y'all not have television? I remember this. I was down in Belize and they had this place called Spanish Lookout. This is where Belizean Mennonites lived. And so I went up there and was back in there. This one guy worked on different stuff and I was back in there talking to him and he said, you believe man really walked on the moon? How do you answer that question? Like, I don't know if that even deserves an answer, does it? Do you believe man really walked on the moon? Trev, do you believe man walked on the moon? Your older brother, Cain, do you believe man walked on the moon? Dean, Help me. Did you leave bed and walked on your moon? How do you know that?
I saw it.
Saw it. You know there's people in the world that didn't see that? And literally, Greg, there's people in this world living in the world. I'm not saying America. I'm saying the world who to this day just gets a kick out of us because we say, yeah, man walked on the moon. So here's a guy who says, what are y'all saying about this? Other guy says, you've been living like under a rock? Have you not watched? You don't know what's taking place the last few days? And then he says, then he tells them what took place. Look what he said. He said unto them, what things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. I underline this, which was a prophet. What does that tell you about what they think about where Jesus is right now? He was a prophet. You know, he's going great, but he was a prophet. Mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You think 3 24-hour days? It still excites me how people are trying to prove that he was crucified on Friday. Dad said he watched three preachers yesterday, right? Three preachers. Every one of them killed him on Friday and rose him on Sunday. I don't know where they went to school at. The Bible said 3 days, 3 nights. That's the same thing it said in Genesis. Morning and evening was the first day. That's 24-hour days. Y'all do math, okay? It's been 3 days since all this has taken place, he said. And then he says this, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. What do you mean, made us astonished? What do you think that means, Karen? Astonished. Huh? Shocked. Why? Here's what I would have done, Keona, because I'm Stephen, I got a lot of faith. 3 days. I'd be watching the clock. I'd be standing at the door where the big rock was. 10, 9, 8, 7. You with me, wasn't you? 6, 5. Come on. We all unity back. We're all gathered at the rock. 5, 4, 3. Keona's right there. Woo, woo, woo. It's time to happen. 2, 1. The rock rolls away. And here we stood. No. No. You know who was standing there waiting for him to bust out there 3 days later? Who was it? Not one person. They were astonished. They were shocked. He's gone. Why? Because they wasn't looking for him to be gone. If those women thought he was not going to be there, they wouldn't have took the stuff to fix his body. I'm telling you, they loved the story. It was going great, but it's over. Now I think the good stuff starts happening. The Bible said this, and when they found not his body, they came saying, now I like that, they came saying. Does that sound like somebody believed what they just heard? They came saying, y'all with me? That they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, this is Jesus, talking to these two guys who don't know he's Jesus. O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? In verse 27, I'm not going to wear you out there. Verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses. When did Moses start? Genesis. He wrote the first book. Genesis chapter 3, I think you find the promise, verse 15, of His coming. You can read Genesis 22 about Abraham and Isaac and how Isaac was offered up on Mount Moriah, which one day where the temple would be built, and up on that same mount, you're going to find where Jesus will be crucified just a few hundred feet away from where the temple was. all that Psalms 22, right? Isaiah 51, Isaiah 53. There's just so many places that's going to tell us in the Scripture. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to go home tonight and watch AD, the Bible story. And I've seen the preview, and Jesus is standing there like this, talking to these two guys on the road to Emmaus, and the light shining through his palm of his hand. I'm just going to be honest with everybody in this building. Somebody's standing there, and I'm looking through the palm of his hand, I'm in. I just believed enough, I'm walking on the communion table. I mean, I'm in. But you know, Jesus didn't show them one nail print. Come on, he's going to later. But not to these two guys. What did he do with them? He opened up the Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. And in John, is it John? Luke 16. Rich man Lazarus. Jesus said if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe one rose from the dead. Where does faith start at? He'd been telling all through the Old Testament what he was going to do. He was going to rise again. Prophesied. This whole story was told before. And all Jesus said is, why didn't you believe the word that was told you? They didn't have a mind problem or a brain problem. They had a heart problem. And honestly today, that's the biggest problem humans have today, is a heart problem. We're educated beyond education. But we don't have a heart of faith. And so Jesus says this. He told them they were slow of heart. He said, and he began with verse 31. And the Bible says this, and their eyes were what? And? What?
They knew.
You know what I think needs to happen? I think sometimes people just need their eyes open. I was talking to Brian today a lot about the little project I gave you, Why I Believe. I think that Wednesday night people walk there thinking, that's a piece of cake. That won't take me 5 seconds. How many has found out that that's like the toughest thing you've ever been asked to put on a piece of paper? Why I believe. Because most of our belief has really been building, hasn't it? And I think some of us, even though we believe, came to a stronger place of belief in our life during certain situations and times, haven't we? And all of a sudden it's like, it's real. I mean, it's so real. Let me tell you how real it is. And I find myself telling more of those stories than I do finally preaching sermons to people. Because I think, Carrie, people want to know why, preacher, other than the Bible tells you so, why do you believe? And I shared this with Brian today. When these disciples were coming to faith, the only word of God they had would have been Moses and the prophets. Some of the other letters were coming out, the minor prophets. But really those prophets and Psalms and Proverbs, a lot of people have. But those disciples did not have the New Testament. They were the New Testament. Walking around telling everybody, He's alive. Let me tell you what He did for me. Let me tell you how He helped me. Let me tell you what He's meant to me. It is all a personal, first-hand experience. And we find ourselves today, we don't have no first-hand experience. But you really do. Now that was my challenge for you to write this letter. I want you to know that you've got more faith than you think you do. And there's been things that God's done in your life to make you be more of a believer than you ever was when you walked the aisle and accepted Christ. My faith is far different than it was that day. I didn't want to go to hell, man. And I believed enough to know that I believe what God said. Y'all with me? And think about this. This was brought to my attention yesterday in a big way. You're not going to tell somebody the deepest, darkest secrets of your life unless you trust them. Let's just be honest. And most of us, when we got saved, we really told God some stuff, didn't we? That maybe we've never shared with anybody else. You know what? You trusted Him, didn't you? And I didn't realize how much I trusted Him until I went through a few trials in my life. And then that trust became real. I don't think I got saved later in life. I think my faith got stronger. Y'all with me? The Bible said He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you and I got saved, we just got a seed of faith. We just got enough faith to accept Christ and we're going to heaven. You can't be any more saved than you was saved that moment. But I tell you what you can have more of. You can have more faith than you had that moment. And that's all God's asked us. And He's challenging these guys. He said, and think about it. He could have just did this, couldn't He? Read the hand. Couldn't He? But He didn't do it. He started telling them about Moses and the prophets and all these things. The Bible says this in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? Just a observation question. Have you ever felt closer to God than you do at this moment in time tonight? What was it? Was it a time? Was it a struggle? Was it in the Word? Did your heart burn? Did you want more? Did you think, if I could just scoot a little closer, did you try to get closer? I think a lot of us who've had that experience in our life, I think what we do is, because we've had that, we are constantly reaching back for that, Miss Sherry. Amen. I want that. And I don't feel it every day. And I want to feel it every day, Gail, but I don't feel it every day. But I think it causes me to keep reaching and keep pulling and trying to clear junk out of my life so I can feel that spot. And you know what it was, Brother Dean? At that one moment in time, really nothing else in the world mattered. Just this one issue. Nothing mattered. Didn't even need to see a television. Because none of it mattered. But this mattered. And God was so real. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. These guys all of a sudden had an experience with God that was so real. Their hearts burned. They said this, I know we've got to quit. They rose up the same hour. Remember, this is the same day, alright? And returned to Jerusalem. They went 7 to 8 miles that way with Him. When they got to the end, He vanished. And the first thing they did is what? Flipped around and went back 7 or 8 miles. Now y'all do a hike of 15 to 16 miles. Something has to be real important, doesn't it? And the Bible says this, and the 11 were gathered together, and them that were with them saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, What those guys need? What did that whole room full of people need right then and there? What did they need? Let's just cut to the chase. What did they need? I think this is what they need. They needed to know, God, that everything's going to be all right. Isn't that what peace is? Peace to me is not worried how it's going to get all fixed up or will it get fixed up. That peace to me is that everything's all right. And you may be looking at my situation and thinking, wow, whew, if that was me, I'd be questioning if I was even saved or not. I mean, I think God's punishing you. But you know what? The person at the end, if he's got peace, it's all that matters. And Jesus steps in the room. These people are troubled. They're scared. They're worried. They don't know what's next. And He says, peace. Peace. And here's how He quits. I got a point that I'm getting to, and I'm going to get you there. So hang tight. The Bible said, but they were terrified. Why were they terrified? and frightened and supposed that they had seen the Spirit. I love to ask this question. I think it's the same thing I asked about when He showed up walking on the water. And they were terrified and scared. Why? Why were they afraid when He walked in the room here? I want to remind you this one more time. They weren't looking for Him. I was expecting Betty to walk in the room. I was expecting somebody to walk in the room. But I sure wasn't expecting Him to walk in the room. Why? Because He's dead. This resurrection thing, the resurrection is why there's Christianity. Y'all with me? If there was just the cross, we wouldn't have Christianity. We'd all burned in hell. The resurrection is what separates us from everything else in the world. All the other gods in the world are dead and they're still dead. Our God is alive. He rose from the grave. And these people are scared, troubled. The Bible says, why are you troubled and why do your thoughts arise in your heart? The greatest thing about Jesus is this. He could be looking at your eyes and know what your heart's thinking. I can't do that. I think y'all are just tired. Y'all may have other issues. I don't know. You look tired, though. Y'all look horribly tired. But Jesus could look beyond the tired and look right into your heart and know why your heart was all troubled and racing and why you had this fear. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His what? I think the light probably shined through. It's like, wow. And just to show you that it wasn't the Spirit, the Bible said this, and while they yet believed, not for joy. Somebody explain that before we go home. They believed not for joy. I wrote down in my Bible up on the side beside that, too good to be true. I think if that ever happened in the Bible anyplace else, I'll save you some time. If you went to the end of Genesis, you're going to read a story about Joseph. Remember that story? And they brought his dad. They said, they came back and they told their dad what? Joseph is what? He can't be alive. He's alive. He's really alive. Take me to see. And I think he couldn't really celebrate until he like. And so they're like, it's too good to be true. I don't want to get myself all worked up. And said this. And wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. I want to put all these questions aside. You think we'll eat food in heaven? Absolutely. Some good stuff too. I like fish. I went over at Cove's in Russell Springs and ate fish. Who's ever ate fish at Cove's? You know it's good when you hit the floor and you slide. A lot of grease. You know that's going to be some good eating right there. Just got him. How many like... See, I grew up with my grandpa and he didn't like the straight... Hey, he liked honeycomb. And I thought, that's going to be the greatest stuff. Like eating a piece of styrofoam with some honey on it. Right? But the more I ate it, the more I kind of liked it. Just got him a piece of fish and some honeycomb, and the Bible said, what? What's the big theology you're going to teach us tonight? He ate! This is a real body. It's consuming real food. You can touch me. It's a glorified body. You and I are going to have a body that will eat food. Right? Somebody ought to amen, because I'm hungry. Here's the part I want you to get to. Verse 45 and 46, 7 and 8. We'll go home. And then opened he their what? That they might understand the Scriptures. You know what? I think until you really get some faith in your life, this Bible is just going to be a confusing bunch of stuff. But the greatest one can open your understanding is God. And a lot of people are trying to figure God out before they ever get saved. They never will. You have to have faith in the story first. Then, you can start reading the Scriptures and He'll start opening your heart and your mind to the Scriptures. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behold, Christ is suffering to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, your verse, and ye are... I love this one, Eric, because He doesn't say you shall be, like Acts does. He just says what, brother? You are witnesses. Why? Because you've seen it. Can I tell you all a secret tonight? You all are witnesses. If you're in this building and you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. You're a witness. You have experienced faith in Jesus. And all God's asked you to do, He's not asked you to walk out of this building, King James Bible under your armpit, a handful of tracts, and a sign, and convert the world. He's asked you to walk out of here and witness to people and tell them what happened to you. A tract is great. Give them a tract. Bible's wonderful. Read them some Scripture. But I want you to understand what I think is one of the greatest things you'll ever tell anybody is your story. This is what happened to me. My story's different than Brother Godfrey's story. That's why I want that paper wrote. That's why I want people to take time and step back their lawn chairs and just flip open and read Wanda Meese's story. And read Ida's story. And read Sherry's story. And read story, because everybody's story is different, but they're going to have one thing in common. Faith in Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We make it too hard. Rochelle and I, today's just been an awesome day. God just reconfirmed to me that He's in control of everything. We take Kayla over to National College. Had the girl got saved a few weeks ago. She likes a half a semester finishing her schooling. She dropped out in 2012, right? Half a semester she could finish, and she'd be a CMA. That's not like country music, something or other, but that's like somebody that can draw blood and pass out medication in the nursing field, but not an RN, an LPN. But we know where we're at, right, Jonah? You know, everybody's like, I don't have a clue. Something about country music, he said. She's going to be a country music singer. And she's really not. She's like a half a semester being a CMA, okay? So I walk into, I said, I'll go with you. I said, the greatest thing you'll ever do is finish your schooling, get you a good job, and show your children a different way of life. That's what I think. That's what I preach. That's what I think God does. Okay? So we walk in there. These people were like the happiest people in the world. See her walk in the building. Wonder what happened to her. You look so much better than the last time I saw you. See, she's had trouble with drugs and all kinds of things. So she's looking at her. She looks like, well, she looks better than she... Wow, I can't believe that. Is that really you? I mean, there's conversation. So they take us to a lady that's over minutes. So I go into her office, we're all talking. They said, you know what, I think we can work this out. We probably can get you in. You might even have some money left over in your government grants to even pay for the rest of your school. Probably can pick up where you left off. It sounds like a great story. I'm looking on the wall, and there's on the wall is a picture of Belize. Might have a little interest in that. So after we got done with all the business, I just said, ma'am, you been to Belize? She said, no, but for the last 4 years I have studied Belize. I took virtual trips on the internet to Belize. I said, yeah, I know where that's at. This is there. And I said, yeah, have you been? She could tell me more about Belize than I know myself. I said, have you ever met anybody from Belize? And she said, no. And I said, used to live there. No, you didn't. I said, I really did. I lived there. I got to adopt a daughter from there. We make trips every year there. A couple years ago, took 60-some people down there. What do you want to know about beliefs? She said, this is awesome. She said, I have never really met anybody who's been there. This is like the greatest day of my life. So we go back and talk to the other guy, and he's working on paperwork, and he said, you know what, I can get you money, and we're going to get you back in. May the 4th, you can start classes again. Your books are covered, blah, blah, blah. It's all going great. Me and Rochelle come back out. This woman comes and gets Rochelle. She says, where'd your husband preach at? He preaches over at Unity Baptist, right beside Benny Furniture. I'm coming to that church. I'm coming to that church. Y'all ever heard that before? I'm coming to that church. So I came back through, and she said, I'm coming to that church. I said, well, how about this? How about you come Easter Sunday? Let's just pick a date. We went to another room, came back out. She says, I've already called my sister and bringing my sister and bringing my dad with me. We're coming to your church. This lady working at the counter, she said, where's your pastor at? She said, I might just have to go too. Today, she sat right there. And her business card, there's another business card, she invited somebody to come with her. She don't go to church anywhere. There was a connection. When she left the building today, I said, we're going to cook a Belizean meal. She said, let me know. I'm in. I'm going to come and eat it with you. She said, I'll be back. She's going to be here Wednesday nights. And I don't know. But listen to this. The door got opened. God just asked me to be a witness. It's not that hard. Really had nothing to do with church, honestly. Had something to do with the country. But it was a common interest that got her to this place today who heard the message of hope. Jesus tells this group of men in a building, why do we have church on Sunday night? Probably because of this group right here. There's another passage of Scripture you can read where Thomas wasn't there. You talk about a service to miss. What went on last Sunday night? Not much. Jesus showed up. What? Are you kidding me? Of all the Sundays in the world to miss. I was preaching in Somerset a few years ago, pastoring the church, and this one guy loved to ride horses. Had some nice riding horses. He decided this one Sunday he just couldn't go on a longer ride and couldn't make it back to church. His daughter got saved that night. And you know what? Every time I see that guy, he said, preacher, I don't hardly ever miss a Sunday night of church anymore. You never know what you might miss. The greatest probably day of my life could have been, I wasn't there, I was on the back of a horse. Long story short, he gave me the saddle. I got the saddle in the basement of my house. I'm glad he got rid of it. I'm going to buy a horse to ride it on. So you don't have to go to church on Sunday night. I don't think it's anywhere in the Bible says you've got to go on Sunday night. I don't think it's there. But when God's people gather, Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake that assembly. So when that group of people gathered that day, these two guys out of breath from their 16-mile walk come back in, you're not going to believe who we just run into. Oh, him. And he's right there. So, it's been worth it tonight. I went 15 minutes over, but you get what you pay for. There's a dollar in this one, all right? My challenge to you tonight, reading all that passage of Scripture, is one simple thing. Be a witness. Don't make this thing hard. Don't get all frustrated in the Christian life, aggravated at a brother in Christ, aggravated at a sister in Christ, aggravated at the preacher because how he does stuff. But try to be a witness. Make this a place that people would like to come and visit because you're here. That's all God's asking.
Let's sing something, Brian. Let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for everything. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the spirit of this service. Lord, I don't even know what it would have been like to have been back there that night. And the frustration, the scare, the wondering, the worry. But Lord, I'm so thankful that night You opened their hearts. And Lord, You helped them to understand Scripture more than they ever have. Thank You, Lord, tonight for how You opened my eyes and my heart each and every day to Your Word. Some familiar story, something new comes from it sometimes. And Lord, I just thank You for that chance to learn more about You. And I long for the day that I get to see You face to face. Thank You for the Spirit who dwells with me, who walks with me, who tells me to talk and tells me to shut up. Thank You, Lord, for the times that You've opened the door to share Jesus with people. Thank You for Adam yesterday accepting Christ. Lord, I don't know if I'll ever see him again, but I know that he's got a message he wants to share to his family. So be with him, Lord, tonight as he heads back home tomorrow. Give him opportunity, give him strength, give him faith. Help him to find a church that he can grow. Thank You for this church, these people. In Jesus' name, amen. What are we singing, Brian?
375, just as I am.